The concept of a gateway can create debate. Many believe that the legalization of marijuana, for example, will increase the number of people who use it and who will be, over time, move on to harder drugs. There are those who say the same about e-cigarettes and vaping. Stats show that there has been a huge rise in teens who are using these smoking tools. Flavored e-cigarettes have been the prime focus of the concerns, with the New Jersey legislature recently passing a bill restricting access to flavored e-cigarettes. Our first guest today says that while that's a step forward, more needs to be done. She's the New Jersey Government Relations Director with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Samantha DeAlmeida, how are you today, Samantha?
I'm great, thank you, Chris.
And learn more about the work of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, fightcancer.org. You can look in the top right-hand corner of the homepage and find the state chapter near you in New Jersey. It'll be /states/new-Jersey. So talk about the legislation that the state has passed as far as limiting e-cigarettes. Is that an age limitation, the sale limitation? How specific did they get?
So what the legislation that was recently signed does is it restricts the flavors of e-cigarettes. So only tobacco flavored will be available in New Jersey. It gets rid of all of those, you know, fun kid-centered flavors like cherry, tutti frutti,
bubble gum,
cotton candy, all of those that are very appealing to the younger generation. So tobacco flavored will be the only flavored or unflavored product on the market. And menthol is included in that flavor ban as well, which was very important to us.
Now, this is just for the e-cigarettes. There's still, again, I guess for the sake of brevity, gateway smoking opportunities that can still be attractive to teens and younger people that are of legal age that could still be enticing for the creation of new smokers.
Correct. So this legislation was semi-problematic because it doesn't address all flavored tobacco products. Menthol combustible cigarettes remain on the market, as well as flavored cigars or cigarillos, as they're known. Those products specifically, big tobacco has used to target minority communities, and it creates a health disparity by taking the e-cigarettes off the market and leaving these products on the market. So this year, our primary focus is going to be to target those products as well. Massachusetts recently passed legislation that was signed into law by their governor that removed all flavored tobacco products off the market. And that was really the approach that we were going for. But with the tight time frame of lame duck and moving this legislation forward, the e-cigarette issue is really what took off. And as I said, you know, the menthol and flavored cigar issue is really going to be something that we're going to focus on this year with a little bit more time to push that forward.
The claim is by the e-cigarette industry and proponents, supporters, even a couple of think tanks like the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington, that flavoring is not designed to be targeting the youths. But when you look at the stats, how can that be denied?
It certainly can't. We know that the overwhelming majority of youth that are picking up these e-cigarettes, and when I say youth, I mean high school, middle school, and even some reports of kids as young as fourth and fifth grade picking up these products, are picking them up because of the flavors. They are enticing, and you know, these are individuals and youth that would never dream of picking up a regular cigarette because they've had health and education surrounding the dangers of cigarettes, but they're not having the same education and don't equate e-cigarettes as a tobacco product because of those fun flavors. In 2009, flavored cigarettes were banned, so that was before the time of many of these youth, and they likely don't remember that. But this is, you know, taking the same steps forward to make sure that these products are less appealing.
Talking with Samantha DeAlmeida, who is the New Jersey Government Relations Director with the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network. Fightcancer.org is their website. in New Jersey, /states/new-jersey. But the easy way is when you go to fightcancer.org. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see My State. Drop-down menu, find your state. You can find the activity that your local chapter in New Jersey, as well as if you're listening on the stream in other states, what the organization is doing on this and other smoking and health-related issues. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Centers for Disease Control had a report in reviewing smoking habits among youths, teens, even younger in 2019. The question, current past 30 days, what have you used as far as tobacco products? Among high school students, e-cigarettes, they said 27.5% said that's what they were on. 7.6% said cigars. Only 5.8% said cigarettes. Smokeless tobacco, and for some strange reason, pipe tobacco showed up as well. Same question for middle school students in the past 30 days. And almost the same batting order. E-cigarettes, 10.5% among middle school students. Cigars, 2.3%. Cigarettes, 2.3%. Smokeless tobacco, 1.8%. That's when you look at that many using e-cigarettes, again, with the gateway concept and the flavoring being the attraction that it is, it just sounds like that's just that many more potential habitual smokers in the making.
It is. It definitely is. This is something that's very troubling because it is beginning a whole new generation of smokers. We know that, you know, youth are susceptible to addiction. Their brains are not done forming. And the brain and its control over how it processes nicotine and the addiction of tobacco products is much more susceptible for long-term addiction the earlier that you start. So these youth are likely to be using multiple products. E-cigarettes are a little bit troubling as well with how easy they are to hide. Many of the youth that I've spoken with, they are so addicted to the product that they sleep with it in their hand, or so they can wake up in the morning and take their first hit, as they call it. And they don't equate that in the same way that somebody would step outside and smoke a cigarette. So it becomes a lot easier to use. They use it in school. They use it in the bathroom. There's not that smoke smell. And it's very easy to hide from teachers, parents. And we've had to do a lot of education, and there continues to be a need for a great deal of education surrounding what these products look like, how to identify them, and what parents should know, because we've had to get them up to speed fairly quickly.
And certainly dangers in a variety of levels, both because from the commercially produced as well as the black market, that's a whole separate issue, is the trouble that element is causing too. But for the students, for the parents, for the teachers, for friends who aren't falling prey to these e-cigarettes, will the laws be all that it takes to make a difference? Because, I mean, we still see kids able to get alcohol, even though they're well underage. So it sounds like education as far and as well as outlets for cessation are going to be the key, not just laws.
Absolutely. As I stated, this is a whole other generation of individuals that are now addicted to nicotine. So we have to be there as these products come off the market to be able to come in and help provide cessation to them so that they don't continue to smoke or transition to a different product. We want to make sure that they're not transitioning to regular combustible cigarettes or any other tobacco product. We also want to continue the education. Certainly have a lot of work to do in that area. And really what comes to mind is New York has a great, I guess they have a great budget, I would say, for producing commercials. And you'll see them sometimes if you're in the New York City outlet in New Jersey, you'll still get those commercials of how harmful e-cigarettes are. And they're almost commercials geared towards kids. And it educates them. So I would love to see New Jersey do something like that. Unfortunately, we have a long way to go with our state budget and getting tobacco cessation funding and being able to do those initiatives. So at this time, you know, we're really pushing forward for the education. The flavor ban is a big step in the right direction. But as I mentioned, we have to include all products. So that's, you know, another wave of legislation that we're going to have hopefully coming this year. And then, again, providing the cessation for individuals that are nicotine addicted and need to come off.
There's more information, educational information at that, available from the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, fightcancer.org. And in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, there's a drop-down menu. You can find your specific state, find out the education, various outlets. There's a whole host of local civic groups as well that are rising up to address this situation in tandem with the work of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Fightcancer.org, again, your starting point. We're talking with the New Jersey Government Relations Director of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, Samantha D'Almeida. Samantha, thanks so much for the insight, the ideas that you present to people, as well as victims of this targeting by the e-cigarette industry. And thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.